When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
I've been in Ireland for Halloween, and they love to tell you the Irish love to claim credit for the holiday. Do they deserve it?
Yes, it's funny. You could be in Scotland, and they'd also claim credit for the holiday, but they'd both be correct, more or less. The idea is really that it's the same cultural group of people in ancient times, Celtic people, as they're called, before the coming of Christianity. They celebrated, and these Celts were found both in Ireland and in Scotland. That's why both countries claim the history. But before the coming of Christianity, according to their native religion, they celebrated a very large festival at the beginning of November. And it was pretty much in between the equinox and the solstice, so it would be about November 1st. And that was when they began the new year. That was considered New Year's Day. But it was also a time when the souls of individuals who had died during the year were allowed to cross over into the other world, into the spirit world. And so there was this idea that there were spirits, ancestors, and so forth around during that time. So in reality, what that translated into was a variety of different customs that are still found to this day, where people would, for instance, leave the fire burning through the night, leave out food in case there were wandering souls, and so forth. And a lot of these traditions, including wearing disguises and going from home to home and receiving this food, kind of in a kind of a fun mocking of spirits and so on. All of these can be traced back before the coming of Christianity. But with the coming of Christianity, the 1st of November on the church calendar is All Saints Day. And the evening before All Saints Day is All Saints Eve, or All Hallows Eve. And so the customs continued, but now they were done on Hallow Evening or Halloween. It got translated into a kind of Christian context.
What did the Celts call the holiday, and why did they call it that?
Thank you. They called it Samhain. Now, that is spelled Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain. It's a Gaelic word, it's a foreign word, so the M and the H are silent, and it comes out sounding Samhain. First of all, there's not a lot that's known. That most of it is just taken from ancient sagas and epics. But there's not much said except that Samhain is a very important day of the year. So there's a lot written about human sacrifice and about the god Samhain, but it really means summer's end is what it largely translates to.
Okay, so we've got that. The Romans come, and were the Romans Christians by the time they made it to the Celtic lands?
Yes, okay. But it was largely missionaries. In fact, it was the famous St. Patrick who he was taken to Rome and educated and went back and decided, along with other missionaries, to convert them to Christianity. This is where the Roman Catholic Church has its foundings, in Rome. But in those days, it was just the church. And the missionaries were the ones to both convert the local people, but also they had as their instructions. The idea was to continue to let people practice their native ways, but to translate them into Christian terms. In other words, they said, if you come across somebody worshiping a tree, rather than tell them they're ignorant pagans and cut the tree down, tell them to continue to worship, to come weekly at this tree, but tell them that they're no longer worshiping the tree, they're worshiping the God who it stands for, Jesus Christ. So you get this idea that what they were all written, the folk traditions were allowed to carry on. But instead of there being sort of spirits going to the other world, they started retranslating them as fairies and demons, since they were, you know,
so that's where
the Christian terminology.
So that's where the fairies come from, and the fairy trees in Ireland and all of that.
That's exactly correct. Yes.
And the fairies,
a lot of people think it's the ancient gods, but translated back into a Christian worldview.
That's interesting. So I didn't realize the fairies came out of that. But so then what we have are the missionaries coming to Ireland to convert, but
yes.
But the Irish festival of Samhain ends up being part of the Christian calendar worldwide.
Because the idea was with, they did this with most of the festivals, you know, placing Christmas at the time of the winter solstice and so on, trying to piggyback on already existing traditions, because they figured it would be an easier pill to swallow, let's put it that way. And so November 1st became, which was known as All Hallows, was the eve of All Hallows. And then November 2nd, now it's a little later, but November 2nd became All Souls Day on the church calendar. And those 2 days are kind of blurred these days.
I have Irish cousins and a lot of Irish friends there. We go off over often, and there are a lot of them who still, they don't believe in the fairies, but they don't want to say they don't believe in the fairies.
I know people, I have been over there several times too. I did a lot of work over there, and people tell me fairy stories. And there's a lot of, don't build the road through the fairy mound, the fairy fort, or stories of farmers who cut down a fairy tree or fairy bush and then their milk is sour. But a lot of them, like you say, it's a little bit like urban legends here. There's this kind of, it could be true or it might not be true, but we can't explain it any other way. I had a friend there who talked about how his grandmother said she saw a fairy. I've had other people tell me they've actually seen them. So, yeah, fairy belief is there, even if people are maybe a little embarrassed about it these days.
I love it. Okay, so let's go to the United States. How does the holiday translate into what we celebrate here now?
Mostly through the Irish immigration. During the 19th century, there was the Great Famine, right in the mid-century, 1847 was the worst of it. And as people left Ireland by the millions and went to England, went to Australia, and to the United States, and they brought these traditions with them. So we start seeing Halloween parties. The day was known, I mean, because it is on the calendar, the eve of All Saints. And it was often used in terms of harvest and so forth. You had to get the cows back from the far pasture by Halloween. You should, you know, have all the harvest in by Halloween. But most of the traditions we have today were brought directly over by the Irish in large part during the 19th century.
And did kids always trick-or-treat, or how did that develop?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. Trick-or-treating on one level isn't, no, kids weren't always trick-or-treating. They were often doing mischief, but the mischief could be pretty dangerous, you know, putting logs in the road, or, you know, in the old days you hear about tipping over outhouses. Most of them were pretty harmless, but pretty elaborate, a lot of the different things kids did. But it was by the 1930s when, and interestingly, they actually thought, well, we got to start, this is dangerous, and it would be better if we had give the kids something else to do. So they started coming up with this idea of trick-or-treating. Most people I know basically will tell you they didn't know anything about it before the Second World War and after the Second World War. And that would be, you know, probably the beginning of the baby boom generation, that it comes in, it grows in large, you know, in large part. But I also think there are so many different forms of similar traditions of kids and adults begging from home to home or demanding from home to home, and all over the world. but especially in England and Ireland and Great Britain and the Northern Europe. And I think that there are forerunners to our trick-or-treating that people would just naturally draw on. There's kind of two levels.
It's interesting to me you talk about how after World War II they started finding something other than mischief, because I was born in 63, so what I'm trying to get to is how that mischief faded out. I mean, when I was a kid, I grew up in a farm town, and there was always someone's outhouse would be brought up on Main Street, you know, or people would TP trees or soap windows, you know, and that
soaping
was
windows. Yeah,
that was common in, all the way until I out of my childhood. I'm kind of surprised when I bought a house in the suburbs. I was kind of surprised my windows didn't get soaped.
Well, when I grew up in Boston, and we would soap windows, throw eggs, and TPing didn't exist when I was a kid. But the outhouse, you say you grew up in a farm town. Now, it's interesting because the point is that as in an agricultural area, trick-or-treating is difficult because it's not densely packed. So the mischief thing is the primary tradition. But things like outhouses largely don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, people have indoor plumbing, basically. So that would fade, as you can imagine.
Sure.
But you're right. I mean, what they used to do were things like, you say, someone's outhouse would show up in town. There are all sorts of stories from Ireland about people finding their outhouses on top of the barn or, you know, things just be, you know, taken apart and put back together inside the house or something like that.
Right.
And they were pretty inventive without necessarily being dangerous. But yeah, no, there's this sense now that, you know, it's suburbanized. And in a way, you see it going on with like trick-or-treating at the mall or Main Street. You know, it's increasingly commercialized, and there's an attempt, I'd say, to control it more and more with, you know, there's official times that you can trick or treat.
Well, we went through that fear, right? We went through a fear period of poison and pins and all of that stuff. But the trick, I mean, it's funny, the phrase is trick or treating, but the trick is out of the action.
Yeah, it is, I think, largely. I know. But, you know, the famous thing nowadays is if you actually say, oftentimes if a kid comes to your house, they just stand there. And, you know, you have to say to them, what do you say? And, you know, what would you do if I don't give you this? And they don't know what to say, you know. So it's kind of lost that. But I think in my own day, you know, as a child, I would trick or treat. The egging and soaping, that came when I was a little older, more like 12, 13, you know, and getting into adolescence. And that's when you're roaming with your friends. And, you know, it's kind of an age group thing, too, in a little bit, in a way.
Jack, I really enjoyed our conversation. And I'll tell my cousins in Ireland that you also know people who believe in fairies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Tell them to get in touch with me if they want to.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. It was fun.